What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself.
Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
This is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, and I welcome Mary Anastasia O'Grady, the America's editor and columnist for the Wall Street Journal editorial board, to Cuba. These last days, the reporting about protests in Cuba, especially by young people, during the pandemic. The concern is for health care. There are many explanations, but Mary's column in the Wall Street Journal goes past the explanation of global pandemic and talks about a skin affliction called scabies. Scabies cannot now be solved for the children of Cuba. And why is revelatory about the protests in the street against the regime? Mary, a very good evening to you. What about scabies? What is the frustration for the parents of Cuba when they have children and they need attention? Good evening to you, Mary.
Well, good evening, John. This scabies epidemic in Cuba got my attention because Cuba calls itself a world-class health pioneer. And, you know, if you listen to Michael Moore, the American filmmaker, Cuba has the most advanced healthcare and it's free for everybody. And, you know, what a great accomplishment Cuba has made. And in fact, they have terrible healthcare. And the scabies epidemic is a perfect example of it. I mean, it's a small mite, a parasite that burrows under the skin and reproduces. It can be found mostly in warm, hot tropical places, but also places where there's very poor hygiene, not having running water and soap and those kinds of things. And once you have an outbreak of it, it can be cured because there are antibiotics and there are topical lotions and so forth. But you look at Cuba right now and you see that it's all over the island, and it won't kill you as far as I understand, but it's terrible to live with. And then it continually gets worse if you don't treat it because these parasites keep reproducing. And it's amazing to think that a country that, again, considers itself a very advanced in healthcare, says it's creating vaccines, by the way, a very dubious claim. And that there's no problem with COVID. That's what they were saying last year. In fact, they were trying to attract tourists to the island, telling them, oh, COVID can't live here. Come on down. And, you know, this regime has such a poor record on healthcare that they cannot treat this very basic illness that is spread across the island. That I found scandalous.
More revelation from a diary of Cuba, which is quoted in Facebook. I'm following your reporting, your column. This is as recently as July 6th from a nurse in the Faustino Perez Provincial Hospital in a large city, Matanzas. The quote, there are no beds or stretchers, a hospital without water for more than 6 hours in two periods of the day. Mary, this doesn't sound like it just happened. Is this typical of Cuba that the boasting comes to nothing for the people of Cuba? Is that what we're hearing?
Well, the government is broke. And they haven't for a very long time had good health care. I mean, if tourists go there, they take them to these fancy hospitals, which they use hard currency to build, and they use them for foreigners and they use them for the elite. But the rest of the country has been living with terrible circumstances in terms of hospitals and outpatient clinics and that sort of thing for many, many years. The problem in Matanzas, that I mentioned in that column, is that there's a very bad outbreak of COVID. So people go to the hospital because they're very sick, and the hospitals cannot treat them. And as this nurse explained, no beds, no stretchers, you know, forget about antibiotics, prophylactics, those kinds of things. They just don't have it. There's just nothing there. And Matanzas in particular had a very bad, is going through a very bad outbreak. So, you know, in this country, when one place like New York got hit very hard, there was a kind of a mobilization of goods to get things to the hospitals and so forth. None of that exists in Cuba. It's a very, very poor country.
The Arab Spring of some decade ago started with a street vendor, I believe in Tunisia, who killed himself because of his frustration with the regime. We can go through history, other events where small things turn into large occasions. Do you measure that these protests we're hearing, admittedly through the fog of tyranny, these protests started with the small thing of scabies or the not small thing of a hospital without beds? Is that possible to lead to a challenge to the central government after all these decades of abuse?
Well, I would say that the frustration on the part of the Cuban public has been building up for a very long time. So what happened on Sunday, July 11th, and also continued to happen during the week, although it slowed down as the repression got worse and worse. But what happened there is not that people were suddenly, you know, frustrated. That has been, it's been a sort of a simmering cauldron for a very long time. I think two things happened on Sunday. The first was that there was the cell phone and internet connection just sent the messages across the island in a way that 20 years ago you couldn't have had. So you would have a group of people, and in this case it was in a place called San Antonio de los Baños, which is about 30 kilometers west of Havana, so it's on the western side of the island. And that's where Sunday morning, you know, there was a kind of a protest. But somehow that went viral, really, in terms of the social media on the island. And the next thing you know, it was at the other end in Santiago de Cuba, which is traditionally a very rebellious place. It's where all the rebellions in Cuba that have ever happened began. So the people in the eastern end of the island tend to be the kind of mavericks. And then it just went all over the island. So that was a really important thing. And I'd say the second thing is the fear factor. You know, the whole idea of the way you keep a police state in line is, you know, that people are too afraid to talk to their neighbor and say, you know, this stinks, doesn't it? And then their neighbor might say back to them, yeah, you're right, it's really terrible. And so something in that sense, the dam broke, you know, someone blurted out that they hate the regime and they're fed up. And rather than saying, oh, you can't say that, be quiet, put your head down. You know, people started saying to each other, and suddenly people were saying, wait a minute, you feel that way? I feel that way. He feels that way. She feels that way. And so this kind of sharing of frustration, and I'd say that words fed up are most capture the way people feel. That just went wild over the island. And, you know, the third thing I would say is that Miguel Díaz-Canel, who is now the dictator, has no legitimacy. I mean, people handed down for many years the myth of Fidel Castro, who was really a kind of a megalomaniac murderer. But there was a myth around him, and Díaz-Canel has none of that. I actually don't think he's going to last, which is not to say that I think it's so easy to topple the regime, but I think that they're going to have to put somebody else in place, and they're going to use a lot more repression before this is settled.
30 seconds, Mary. What are we watching for? Is there an event that you can anticipate or a timeline? 30 seconds.
Well, we're watching fissures at the top, and this morning we saw the arts community, there's more discontent and people rejecting the regime. And you're seeing, I saw the nephew of one of the leading generals in the country has made a videotape that he put up saying that the regime should not be shooting its own population. So those kinds of fissures are very important. That's going to be where, you know, what we have to keep our eye on.
Mary Anastasia O'Grady, she writes the America's column, and she's the America's editor for the editorial page of the Wall Street Journal. Watching a dynamic situation in Cuba. Big things start somewhere. And do they start with scabies? Do they start with the pandemic? This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.